Hello and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on Business Data Catalog Business Application Integration with SharePoint Server 2007. My name is Carl Middlebrooks. The Business Data Catalog enables you to present business data from a variety of data sources and applications in your organization. Let's start this session by going into more detail on the topics we will be covering. First, we're going to expose you to some key concepts behind the Business Data Catalog, including what customer issues it helps to solve and how it achieves these goals. Because the Business Data Catalog is a new core service in SharePoint Server 2007, you'll learn about these concepts throughout today's session. We'll also talk about how the Business Data Catalog helps present business data from a wide array of data sources and applications throughout your organization without the need for complex coding. The Business Data Catalog, or BDC, comes with a number of features and applications that help you retrieve and present data from business applications in meaningful and unique ways through the SharePoint server. We'll also give you some information on designing and deploying Business Data Catalog applications. We'll talk about the BDC application lifecycle, discuss the APIs, the metadata model, and authentication and authorization mechanisms you can use when building portal applications that bring together business data from different sources. By the end of the session, you'll understand exactly what the Business Data Catalog does, how it can benefit your organization by bringing data together into a centralized location, and how to start using the features and components of the BDC to design and deploy applications that bring data from your business applications to your users in ways previously not possible. As with most TechNet sessions, some prior experience of Microsoft technologies or similar technologies is always helpful. Here's a brief overview of what would be helpful, but not essential, for this session. As we go through today's session, you will hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we will explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or from other versions of Microsoft products that we may not spend time on. To help you out, we've listed the areas that it may be helpful to be familiar with, either prior to this session or to reference afterwards. You should have some familiarity with SharePoint, including SharePoint Portal Server 2003, in order to understand how to configure, manage, and secure SharePoint applications and data. Familiarity with SQL Server or another relational database product is helpful in understanding how to access and retrieve business data stored within databases. You may also find it helpful to be familiar with application design concepts, such as the software development lifecycle, defining business requirements, and application testing. To cover the topics mentioned and to keep the session flow going, we've divided the session up into the following agenda items. First, we're going to give you an overview of the Business Data Catalog and how it addresses several important business needs. After that, we'll talk about using the Business Data Catalog and see some demonstrations that help show what it can do. Finally, we'll discuss some important topics regarding developing Business Data Catalog applications. The Business Data Catalog, or BDC, addresses several important customer issues. We received a great deal of feedback from customers about the amount of coding required to develop SharePoint applications. Customers want to be able to build applications using less integration code. Customers also need deep data integration to make business data accessible in the places where users spend most of their time working. Customers also want new application types that blend business data from across the enterprise with collaborative capabilities to enable more efficient and effective teamwork. Another issue customers had was that SharePoint was able to search unstructured data in documents, but it lacked a structured data search for searching information stored within relational databases like SQL Server. Customers need to be able to bridge the gap between the portal interface and the interfaces of their business applications. Finally, customers need the ability to centrally manage security, auditing, connections to business data, and applications. Enter the Business Data Catalog. The Business Data Catalog is a core service of SharePoint Server 2007. It stores information about business applications that live outside SharePoint server. The BDC comprises a metadata repository that describes these external business applications. The metadata contains XML descriptions of business entities and methods available in the business applications, and allows application developers to access data from business applications across the enterprise through a simple, unified method. We'll talk in greater detail about the metadata model and repository later in the presentation. There are several key features and applications of the Business Data Catalog that you should know about. The BDC comes with web parts that enable application developers to present data from business applications in SharePoint. You can get lists of items from your business data, as well as perform searches of structured data that resides in your business applications. You can also keep user profiles to present customized information and applications to your users, and develop custom applications using the included APIs that we'll discuss later. The Business Data Catalog provides a web service that exposes data to remote clients so that they can query the metadata repository remotely. Data from business applications and systems such as BizTalk, SAP, Siebel, and others can be made available through the BDC web service. The BDC can also access relational databases such as SQL Server and Oracle, and use a number of connection methods such as OLADB and ODBC to present and search structured data stored within those databases. So why use the BDC? With the introduction of SharePoint 2007 and the Business Data Catalog, no integration code is required to be able to build applications. Because the metadata that tells the Business Data Catalog how to access business data is authored in XML, metadata authors do not have to write code to integrate business data into SharePoint applications. Because the Business Data Catalog is a core service of SharePoint Server 2007, deployment of applications is managed centrally within SharePoint Server. The Business Data Catalog can access business data directly from back-end relational databases so that data presented through SharePoint applications is low latency. Once a business application is registered in the catalog, the data in the business application is available immediately through SharePoint, so you're always working with fresh business data in your SharePoint applications. As with application deployment, authentication, authorization, and auditing is managed centrally with SharePoint. When you build SharePoint applications that use the Business Data Catalog, you don't have to worry about complex security mechanisms across different heterogeneous systems. The BDC is designed for portals and collaboration scenarios. It allows you to query and index data and personalize applications using user profiles. It's important to note that the BDC is not transactions, workflow, data transformation, or data adapters. Other Microsoft products such as BizTalk and SQL Server make these features and operations available, but they are not part of the Business Data Catalog. Now let's move on to our next agenda item. Now that we've had a basic overview of the Business Data Catalog, let's talk about using it. One of the key features of the Business Data Catalog is the Business Data Web Parts. Business Data Web Parts enable you to display business data on your portal without writing any code. The Web Parts are generic, enabling you to display any type of data registered in the Business Data Catalog. One common scenario where you would benefit from using the Business Data Web Parts is one in which you need a 360-degree view of a customer, contact information, sales orders, invoices, and so on. In this case, you may have some contact and order information in a sales application, while other contacts and invoices are in an accounting application. You want to be able to go to a single place, the portal, to get comprehensive details on the customer, regardless of where the data resides. Today, there's no easy way to bring all this information together. You have to clip data from different sources, write custom web parts using integration code that may not be reusable, and present a simple data view, which may be useful but is cumbersome and not as flexible as many organizations need it to be. With Office 2007 and SharePoint Server 2007, the picture improves greatly. Using the BDC, you have generic reusable components in the form of business data web parts. These components use the metadata repository to go out to the various business applications across the organization, retrieve the needed data, and present it in a single place. Also, this happens without the need to write code or compile binaries. All the information SharePoint needs to connect to the business application is stored in XML format in the metadata repository. What's more, you have flexibility over how the data is presented through SharePoint. For example, if you have a dashboard application, the business data web parts could be used to generate a graph representing the age of outstanding customer invoices, giving you a quick snapshot of what's happening with the customer without having to read through a tabular data view. Because the web parts can be connected together, you can also create master detail views of the customer data with no coding, allowing you to drill down from an overview of the customer to more detailed records about specific orders and invoices. The formatting of the data can be customized simply by using Front Page to present the data in the way best suited to your business needs. Let's see an application that uses business data web parts. In this demonstration, we'll see how to use the business data web parts to retrieve and present business data within a SharePoint application. In order to make business data from other systems available through SharePoint Server, you first have to write a metadata description of the system, which gives SharePoint the information it needs to connect to the system and retrieve data, making it available through the Business Data Catalog, or BDC. Once the metadata description has been written, it needs to be uploaded to SharePoint Server through the central administration site before the data is available for use in SharePoint applications. In the Shared Services Administration area, we can add and view applications, view entities such as customers and orders that have been made available by BDC applications, edit permissions, and modify the profile page template. We're going to add an application. We've already authored an XML metadata file that describes how to access a business system, in this case, the AdventureWorks Data Warehouse in SQL Server 2005. This XML file describes how to connect to the system, what data to retrieve, and what kind of data SharePoint should expect to receive. Adding the application to the BDC is as simple as specifying the location of the metadata file and importing it. SharePoint then processes the file and registers the application in the Business Data Catalog. The import was successful, so we'll take a look at exactly what we've done. We now have an application called AdventureWorks registered in the BDC. It's a database application and runs under the Server Process account. We can make additional changes to the applications, manage permissions, export the application definitions for backup or use on another SharePoint server farm, or remove the application from the catalog. As mentioned earlier, entities are real-world things. The metadata file we uploaded makes several entities available for use in SharePoint applications, such as products, categories, resellers, and service requests. If we look at the details of the entities, we can make additional changes such as whether the entity is crawlable by the search engine and who has permissions on the entity. You can also see which fields are made available and their data types. For resellers, we have a great deal of information available. For example, the name field is a string and is displayed by default. Relationships describe how entities are related to one another. In this example, the reseller entity is related to the service request entity by the service request by reseller relationship. We've defined a number of actions that can be taken on the reseller entity as well. An action is simply a URL that can open another web page, run a script, or run an external application. In this example, only the View Profile action is fully defined, and it opens a detailed view of the reseller entity, as we'll see shortly. You can also see what sorts of filters have been defined for the Finder method for the entity. Before the AdventureWorks application can be used, we need to add permissions for it. By default, only the administrator has permission to use this application. For this demonstration, we're going to allow all authenticated users to view data from the AdventureWorks application. We only want users to be able to view the entities in the AdventureWorks application, so we'll select the View checkbox. The view permission does not specifically pertain to applications. We're selecting it here because we're also going to select the option to copy the application permissions to all the entities of the application. By doing this, we give all authenticated users permission to view all the entities in the AdventureWorks application at once. In some cases, you may want to set permissions directly upon the entities themselves. Even though we're allowing all the entities in this application to be viewed by all the users, we could still go into each entity and further refine the permissions if needed. Now we can see that authenticated users have the view permission, so we're ready to actually use the data in a SharePoint application. We'll go to the main SharePoint portal site to create a site that exposes BDC data to portal users. We'll create a new site. Our site will allow users to look up information about resellers of AdventureWorks products. We'll name the site and specify its URL. Since our site has information about resellers, we'll put this site into the sales division. We'll also specify that we should use a blank site template and then go ahead and create the site. Now that we've created the site, we'll add a business data web part to actually put the reseller information on our site. SharePoint lets us know that we're editing the shared version of the page. At the bottom of the page, there are two zones for adding content. We'll add a web part to the left zone. SharePoint Server comes with several web parts for viewing business data. You can display a list of actions, display a single item, or display a list of items. We're going to display a list of resellers, so we'll choose the business data list. We'll open the tool pane for the business data list web part to specify the settings for it. We see our list of available entities. We'll choose the reseller entity and save the settings. Now our web part is connected to the reseller entity, and we can see headers for all of the data columns present in the reseller entity, such as name and phone. This list is a little difficult to read, so we're going to remove some of the unnecessary fields to make it more readable. For this demonstration, we're going to go ahead and retrieve all of the resellers from the AdventureWorks database. However, we're going to cut the number of columns down. We're only going to show the number, which is the reseller's unique ID in the database, the reseller name, and their annual sales. Even though we're retrieving all items from the database, we could set a filter to only display a filtered set of those items. We won't set a filter here, though. We're also going to sort the list by the reseller's name and display 20 resellers per page. Now we see our complete list of AdventureWorks resellers. While we're not displaying all of the reseller information in the main list, we can get all of the details of a reseller by clicking the individual name. We can also perform actions for each of the resellers. The actions listed for each reseller are the ones specified in the Central Administration website for the AdventureWorks application. Right now, however, we don't have these actions linked to anything. We can also filter the list further by searching for a word or an exact match of the reseller's name, or even look up a reseller by his or her unique ID. Now, without any coding, we've been able to create a searchable, drillable list of AdventureWorks resellers using the Business Data Catalog. Another key feature of the Business Data Catalog is the Business Data Search. The Search Center in the BDC allows you to search for data across business applications registered in the catalog. For example, let's say that you need to find out who a customer's account manager is in the Siebel system. Today, this can be difficult for a number of reasons. Many vertical business applications simply don't have full-text search capabilities built in, making searching for information cumbersome. Furthermore, in order to look up an account manager in Siebel, you must have access to the Siebel front end. Many users simply don't have access to vertical applications for a number of reasons. A user who needs to look up an account manager on occasion probably doesn't need full access to the application, but just a small portion of the data stored within it. Also, currently, it's hard to crawl business data with SharePoint Server 2003, so in order to make this scenario work, we need something else. With the business data catalog, you can now perform full text searches, indexing, and crawling of any data that's registered in the catalog. You don't need to write custom iFilters or protocol handlers to get to the business data, nor do you need to create HTML representations of the data. Business data can be integrated into the BDC Search Center to make full-text searching of business data easier. You can also use scopes to help you refine your searches to return more relevant information and customize the formatting of results to make sure users get the information they need with as little effort as possible. Let's see a demonstration of a business data search application. In this demonstration, we'll learn how to enable searching of business data within SharePoint Server, and we'll also see how to create custom search pages. In order to perform searches on BDC data, SharePoint Server first needs to crawl the application. We'll configure this in the central administration site in the search settings for the services. First, we need to add the AdventureWorks application as a content source. We're going to crawl reseller information, so we'll name the content source Resellers. Several different types of data can be crawled. For a BDC application, the content source type should be set to business data. When you set the source type to business data, you can choose whether to crawl all applications in the business data catalog or specific applications. Even though we only have one application defined, we're going to specify that only the AdventureWorks application should be crawled. You can create crawl schedules for performing full crawls or incremental crawls, which crawl only updated data. We won't create any crawl schedules right now. We need to tell SharePoint to start a full crawl of the data immediately to make the data available for this demonstration. While the data is being crawled, you can click Refresh to check the status. The time required to crawl the data depends on a number of factors, including the amount of data and the load on the servers involved. SharePoint will crawl and index all the data or properties in the AdventureWorks application. But to make information available to the user in Enterprise Search, the crawled properties must be mapped to managed properties. Managed properties are the only properties available to users through Enterprise Search. We'll map crawled properties to managed properties in the Document Property Mappings page. On the Crawled Properties page, we can see the different categories of data that have been crawled and indexed. The reseller information we indexed is in the business data category. First, we'll set the reseller key to be included in the search index. Now we need to create a new managed property that we can map to the reseller name so that the names of resellers can be exposed to users through Enterprise Search. We name the new managed property. Managed properties can hold several different types of information. In this case, we'll keep the default setting indicating that the property contains text data. Now that we've created a new managed property, we can map it to the appropriate crawled property, which is in the business data category. We'll map this to the crawled property reseller name from the AdventureWorks application. We'll also allow this property to be used to define search scopes. We'll learn more about defining search scopes shortly. Once we've done this, we click OK, and the managed property reseller name is mapped to the corresponding crawled property so it's available to users through Enterprise Search. Now let's go back to the SharePoint portal and see the results of what we've configured. We should be able to search for resellers using SharePoint's search feature. We'll type a search phrase and run the search. Almost immediately, we get a list of resellers that have the word bicycle in their names. This list is also drillable, so clicking the name of a reseller will open up the reseller's profile page. We see the same reseller profile page from an earlier demonstration. We've made reseller information available, not just through the Reseller Explorer site we created in the first demonstration, but in our Enterprise Search as well. Now we're going to further refine our business data search capabilities by creating a search scope that will include reseller data from the AdventureWorks application in the BDC. To do this, we'll go back into the central administration site and then into the shared services. We'll go to the shared scopes section to create the new scope. We need to name the new scope. Since we're searching reseller information, we'll call the scope Resellers. You can specify that when this scope is searched, the results should be either sent to the default search results page or to a custom search results page. We're going to create custom search pages momentarily, but we're going to specify the name of the custom results page right now. Now we need to add rules to finish defining the scope. Rules specify what information is included or excluded from the scope. We can have several different types of rules, but we'll be using a content source rule. The content source rule lets us specify that the scope will include or exclude content that comes from specific sources. Once we click the content source button, a list appears allowing us to select SharePoint content sources. We'll select resellers. The default behavior, which we want to keep, is to include information from the reseller's content source. Now we'll click OK, and the scope is created. Let's continue customizing the business data search. We have simple and advanced search pages in the SharePoint portal. By default, we also have two search tabs, one for all SharePoint sites and a People Search tab. We're going to add a custom search tab. We'll start by editing the page and adding a new tab. This tab will allow us to perform a reseller search, so we're going to name the tab Resellers. When you create a new tab, you must specify a page that will get loaded when the tab is clicked. We'll specify a page called reseller.aspx. We haven't created the page yet, but we'll do that shortly. Once we've created the tab, we'll go ahead and publish the page so that it's available on the portal. In a production environment, you might want to wait until all the pages are created before publishing a new tab to prevent users from clicking a tab for which the pages do not yet exist. We're also going to add a new tab for the search results page. The settings we'll use are similar to the ones we just used, though we specify a different page, resellerresults.aspx. After this, we'll click Publish again and move on to creating the search pages we specified in this step. First, we'll create the reseller search page. There are different page layout choices that you can use depending on the type of search you're performing. We'll use the basic SharePoint search page here. Again, as we go through each part of this demonstration, we'll publish the pages, even though in a production environment, you might want to wait until all the pages are created and populated with content before publishing them. Now we'll create the reseller search results page. Since this is a search results page, we'll choose the search results page layout and then create and publish the page. When we go to the main search page, we can see the new tab. If we click it, it will bring up the reseller search page we just created. We'll need to do some more customization to the search and results pages before the search is ready, so we'll edit this page some more. We're going to modify the search web part. Since this page will search the reseller scope we created earlier, we do not need to show the scope's drop-down list. We also need to set the target results page for the web part. We'll send the results to the reseller results web page we just created. Once we've done that, we'll save the changes and republish the page. Now we'll customize the reseller search results page. As we did with the search web part for the reseller search page, we'll remove the scope drop-down list. We'll also remove the Search Action Links web part from the middle of the page. The Search Core Results web part handles the display of the list of search results. When you use this web part, you need to customize it to display the appropriate columns from the data you're searching. The Selected Columns field contains XML code that describes the columns to be presented in the search results. By default, it's populated with sample data that needs to be edited before the search results page is functional. For this demonstration, we've created a file containing the XML code we want to use for the search result columns. We'll select the text in Notepad and copy it to the clipboard to paste into the field. Now we'll open up the editor, delete the sample code, and paste in our code. Once that's done, we can go ahead and republish the reseller search results page. Let's try out the new tabs and pages we've created. If we search for the term bicycle, we get a list of resellers whose names contain the search phrase. Notice that this search results list is quite minimal compared with the results we saw in the Reseller Explorer site we created in the first demonstration. The results page is sparse because we didn't perform much customization of the search results, including what particular data is displayed and how it's formatted. This simply demonstrates that beyond the business data web parts we used in the first demonstration, and the basic search capabilities we showed at the beginning of this demonstration, SharePoint's search facility is customizable so you can create virtually any sort of search application your organization needs. Actions and write-back are also important features of the Business Data Catalog. In the Business Data Catalog, actions can be used to launch external business applications or, for example, open an InfoPath form. This can help you in a scenario where you want to edit a customer in SAP. Today, this scenario is complicated. While actions can easily be used on people entities, actions on other type of data means writing custom code, which is time-consuming and often not reusable. With the Business Data Catalog, however, this scenario is quite manageable. Actions can be taken on any entity because an action is just a URL associated with an entity. So a customer can have an action that would either start the SAP application user interface or open an InfoPath form that would write back directly to SAP using writable web services. Actions appear everywhere the entity does, and users can take actions that fit within the context of where they're viewing the entities. With the BDC, you can also use business data in lists. To understand the importance of this feature, let's look at a scenario where you want to be able to track and annotate key technical support calls and cases without modifying the structure of the underlying business application. Today, you're limited in what you can do to satisfy this need. Often, you can only deal with simple text or lookup fields with little data validation, leading to irregular data and duplicated lists of values, which is not helpful. With the Business Data Catalog, however, there is one column type, and it can be used to store any entity rather than simply using text or lookup fields. With one click, you can refresh the data and make sure you're always working with the latest data available from SharePoint and the business application. Also, you can integrate this data with other features like workflow and versioning. In this particular scenario, the ability to create lists of business data allows you to, for example, annotate important support calls with information about the problem and resolution, and information about who worked on the cases. This happens without having to add any additional data to, or modifying the schema of, the underlying application, allowing you to more quickly develop useful portal and collaboration applications without affecting the business applications that hold the data. We'll see how this works in practice during the next demonstration. In this demonstration, we'll see how to use the Business Data Catalog to annotate business data without requiring modifications to the back-end database. Now we'll take a look at how to use business data in SharePoint lists. Using business data in lists allows you to augment information from business systems without having to modify the underlying business application. We'll show how this works by creating a new list in the Reseller Explorer site we created in the first demonstration. For this demonstration, we want to create a custom list that allows us to enter feedback or comments about an AdventureWorks reseller. These comments will be stored in the SharePoint database, but linked to data coming from the AdventureWorks data warehouse and SQL Server. We won't place this list in the Quick Launch. We need to populate the list with columns, so we'll add them now. First, we'll add a reseller column and specify that this column contains business data. Now we need to specify what type of business data goes in the column. We'll select the reseller's entity in the business data type picker. Once you've specified the business data entity in the type field, a drop-down list appears containing all the fields associated with that entity. By default, the reseller name is displayed in the column, which is what we want to use. You can choose whether or not to link this column to the profile page, which contains detailed reseller information. The name column is a good choice for linking to the profile page, so we'll leave this selected. You can also select any of the additional fields that are part of the reseller entity if you want to create additional columns automatically. This gives you a way to easily add several columns of business data in a single operation. We're just going to add the number column, which is the reseller's unique ID number in the database. Then we'll go ahead and click OK to create the list. Now we can start using the list to add feedback about resellers, so we'll create a new list item. In this list, the title field is where you'll enter feedback and comments about the reseller. In this case, we have a reseller that's closed on Fridays. There's not a place to notate this information in the SQL Server database, and to add a field would require modification to the AdventureWorks data warehouse schema, which is time-consuming. Changing schemas on production databases can also cause data and application problems, create additional security problems, and so on. With SharePoint Server, we can use this list to store the text of a feedback comment in the SharePoint database while linking it to a particular reseller from the AdventureWorks database. You can type the name of the reseller directly or browse for it. We'll open the browse window and then search for the word bicycle. This brings up a list of all the resellers whose names contain that word. We'll choose bicycle exporters from the list and click OK. We've added our first entry to the list, and now any user of the list can see that bicycle exporters is closed on Fridays. You can click the feedback text to open up the details page for the feedback. You can see when the feedback was created, when it was updated, and which user created and last updated the feedback. You can also create alerts here. With alerts, you can make sure that appropriate users are notified when list information is changed. You have a number of options for creating alerts, such as being alerted only when someone changes an item. You can also specify when to send alerts based on your need to know when list data is modified. We don't need to create any alerts now, however. You can also perform all the actions on the reseller here that you can in the Reseller Explorer. We'll take a look at the profile page for bicycle exporters. Now you've seen how to create SharePoint lists to enrich business data without having to modify the underlying business application. This helps you bring important data together and add new data as your business needs change without the expense and risk of modifying production business applications. Let's see what's next on the agenda. Now that we've seen how to use the BDC, we'll talk about developing BDC applications. It's important to understand the development lifecycle for business data catalog applications. When designing applications using the business data catalog, a business analyst will define the business requirements for the application. The business analyst has a good understanding of enterprise systems as well as the business processes throughout the enterprise. He or she understands exactly what the business is trying to achieve by designing a particular application, as well as what information the users of the application need. Once the business requirements have been defined by the business analyst, an IT pro or developer will author the metadata for the identified business objects and specify the detailed type descriptions for the business objects as needed. The metadata author does not necessarily need to be a software developer with .NET development skills, but needs skills similar to that of a SQL developer who understands the business systems and the needs of the users. The metadata author will also test the application definition to make sure the metadata is correct. Once the application definition and metadata have been successfully tested, an administrator who may be an IT pro or the metadata author will upload the application definition to the production environment. Once the application definition has been uploaded to the production environment, the business analyst builds the specific application using the business data exposed through the business data catalog by the application definition the metadata author defined. You should also understand the BDC's metadata model. The business data catalog's metadata model serves two purposes: to describe the API of a business system, and to give meaning to the API so that it can be easily used by SharePoint applications. The metadata model holds four types of key objects. First is the system object. A system object is a source of business data such as Siebel or a SQL Server database. An entity object is any real-world thing such as a customer, a person, or an order. A method object is an operation that can be performed on an entity, such as the getCustomerList method, which would return a list of customers from the business application to the BDC. An association object is a relationship between entities. For example, customers have an association with orders because customers place orders. There are two APIs for the business data catalog. The runtime API is designed for use by BDC clients and applications. Using the runtime API, you can browse metadata, execute methods on entities, retrieve instances, and traverse relationships. You can execute the business logic described in the metadata repository. Information returned by the runtime API is also cached, so its performance is quite good for clients who just need to query the metadata repository. People who build end-user applications, such as business analysts, will normally use the runtime API for their applications. The administration API allows you to create, read, update, and delete metadata, as well as manage permissions. Unlike the runtime API, the administration API does not use cache data, so it is high latency and not suited for use by normal client applications. Administrators, developers, and ISVs who develop metadata management tools are the primary users of the administration API. It's important to note that the out-of-the-box features of the business data catalog, such as the business data web parts and business data search, use these public APIs, so you have full access to exactly the same APIs as the SharePoint Server 2007 components. When developing BDC applications, it's important to understand security. The business data catalog contains two authentication patterns whether you're connecting to a web service or database: trusted subsystem or impersonation and delegation. with the trusted subsystem client's access data as a service account. There are several options here, including using the server process account, which is most commonly used for authentication and does not require stored credentials. You can also use credentials from a single sign-on or SSO group account. When using impersonation and delegation, clients access data as an end user. You can choose to access the data as the currently logged on user, in which case the BDC authenticates as the end user. This option requires Kerberos delegation. You can also use credentials from an individual single sign-on account. There are also two authorization patterns available for use with the Business Data Catalog. With mid-tier authorization, the middle tier authenticates to the backend as a fixed identity. In this scenario, the backend never knows the identity of the user, so the backend cannot authorize individual users. The Business Data Catalog can perform per-user authorization in the middle tier to address this issue. Backend authorization means that the Business Data Catalog does not perform authorization itself. Rather, authorization is handled by the backend system. In this case, the backend system must receive the individual user credentials so that it can know the identity and authorize the users. One of the benefits of the centralized security of the Business Data Catalog is that you have a single place to audit. While you may still choose to audit your individual business applications and underlying data sources, by making applications and data available through the BDC, you can create a central log of who accesses which data and when, no matter where in the organization the data resides, which is a powerful way to help audit access to your company data. Let's review what we've learned during this session. The Business Data Catalog allows you to access business data across your enterprise regardless of where the data is stored. This allows you to present a low-latency, centralized picture of your business data and present it in ways that are not possible with the various current business applications. Using the Business Data Catalog Runtime and Administrator APIs, you can easily develop portal and collaborative applications for your SharePoint server without any integration coding. This allows you to more quickly develop and deploy useful applications that can drive users to your portal. All of this is made possible with the BDC's metadata model. The metadata model abstracts the underlying business applications using XML descriptions of the systems and methods to access data. The metadata model is vital to the Business Data Catalog because it enables the presentation of business data from diverse sources in a single location once the application description metadata is written. This is a powerful, valuable tool for organizations with data stored in diverse systems in different locations. To get more information on the products and technologies we've covered today, we have some online resources that can help. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/technet. You can also visit www.microsoft.com/technet/dsk-111 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are available from Microsoft. First Look 2007 Office discusses how Office has changed with the introduction of Office 2007 and how to integrate it into your business. Microsoft SharePoint 2006 Development discusses how to create solutions using SharePoint 2006. Workflow in Office 2007 discusses how to use Office 2007 to help information workers share data, enforce processes and business rules, and work more efficiently, either together or solo. Microsoft also has instructor-led courses if you prefer the classroom-style environment. Microsoft Learning develops courseware called Microsoft Official Curriculum, MOC, which includes e-learning, Microsoft Press books, workshops, clinics, and Microsoft Skills Assessment. MOC is offered in instructor-led environments. It offers comprehensive training courses for IT professionals who support and implement solutions using Microsoft products and technologies. The course that best supports this session is Experience the 2007 Microsoft Office System, which will be available soon. For more information, please visit www.microsoft.com/learning. There is also an assessment program available that can help you test your knowledge. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills in implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The Skills Assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which includes links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Pressbooks, and other Microsoft learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including Security and Patch Management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and VisualStudio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you set yourself apart from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available. Starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional, MCP, you can become a fully certified System Administrator, MCSA, System Engineer, MCSE, or Desktop Specialist, MCDST. Away from the infrastructure side, the MCDBA certification covers the SQL Server products. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which you might find interesting. To help explain this in more detail, here's Carolyn McGrath, TechNet Relationship Marketing Manager.
For IT professionals, all the resources in the TechNet program will give you the support you need to be successful with our technology. Whether you are deploying new software, managing a server environment, or troubleshooting, TechNet has a resource for you. Use the web for immediate access to documentation, knowledge base, scripts, downloads, and more. Webcasts and events will give you deep insight into specific technology topics. Keep up to date with technology news using the TechNet Flash. This is a twice-monthly newsletter that you can customize to give you information about the specific technology that interests you. With more time to read, the TechNet magazine is an excellent resource offering in-depth articles written by industry-leading technologists. If you want to ensure that you have all of the essential resources at your fingertips, the TechNet subscription is for you. It includes full version software and betas so that you can evaluate our technology at your own pace. No time bombs, so your product analysis won't time out. It includes two complimentary telephone support incidents. Talk to Microsoft technical professionals to help you with whatever challenges you may encounter with the software. That is $500 worth of value. The TechNet subscription is a great value to all IT professionals. Finally, we have TechNet VLabs. Use this to get your hands on the technology in a hosted environment. You can explore how it works, run different scenarios, and have a full product experience without having to dedicate your time to deploy and manage the hardware to do so yourself. Overall, the TechNet program has all of the resources you need to get the most out of Microsoft technology. TechNet Plus subscription, what is it? Get hands-on experience with the technology through software and betas, including Office, Windows, and servers. Support when you need it, including two free telephone support incidents. Easy access to information via updates, utilities, white papers, knowledge base, and more. Work on your skills at your own pace, e-learning courses and training. The TechNet Plus subscription, that's what it is. Need support? Answers are standing by. You have a choice of three support offerings from Microsoft. Firstly, we have online and self-help. Choose from the TechNet website, the Security Center Online, Knowledge Base, Product Support Centers, the TechNet Script Center, News Groups, User Groups, and the TechNet Plus subscription. Secondly, we have assisted incidents. Assisted incidents include email support, phone support contracts, advisory services. Finally, contract-based support. Contract-based support is offered to organisations and consists of premier support or essential support. Thank you for listening to this TechNet session.